This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWO quickly to Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate, to talk about the Fed's meeting. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Tommy. Great to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. Wasn't long ago that the Fed would meet. Nobody knew, nobody cared, nobody paid a lot of attention to it. Those times are not the same now. Tell me what happened with the Federal Reserve meeting and what was the result and what it means for people.
The one thing that was expected was that they were going to leave interest rates unchanged, and that was certainly the case. They released their updated economic projections. That's something they only do once per quarter. Mm-hmm. And some pretty notable changes since the last time they did that back in December. They've revised their estimates for economic growth notably lower. They do expect inflation to be higher this year, not lower. And a lot of that really traces back to tariffs and just the broader uncertainty that tariffs and other policy changes have created among both businesses and consumers.
Talk about the uncertainty, if you will, because as it is, the Fed's trying to read the tea leaves and make decisions today that are going to have effects in the future, and with a higher degree or more uncertainty factors, that's got to be increasingly difficult, huh?
Exactly, and which is why they really punted on any changes to interest rates, and they seem to indicate that they feel the economy's in a good spot now, but they want to evaluate the incoming data and have a little bit more clarity before they decide what that next move is going to be. And so, if the Fed is going to reduce interest rates, we need to see inflation come down. The one thing that could force their hand is if we saw a sudden deterioration in the labor market, that could get the Fed to cut rates. But, that's under the careful what you wish for category. But, the lack of clarity, from the Fed's perspective, that, they want to see more data so that things are a little bit more clear, so they know what to do. And in the meantime, they feel like interest rates and the economy are in a good spot. From a business and consumer standpoint, that uncertainty, that lack of clarity has really dented sentiment. Consumer sentiment has plunged, some of the lowest levels we've seen, really rivaling what we saw in the Great Financial Crisis. And business sentiment, when businesses don't have a whole lot of clarity, they don't take risks. They don't go out and hire a bunch of people. They don't expand production. They don't make investments. They instead sit back and wait for the dust to settle. And so all of that could really be a headwind to the economy. And that's why it's going to, there's going to be really a lot of data dependence in the next few months, not just on the inflation front, but also, are we seeing any deterioration in the economic fundamentals?
There are a lot of different things that comprise the economy. Certainly, it could be the stock market. It could be inflation. It could be consumer confidence, et cetera. When it comes to the R word, recession, for people that don't know, explain what that is. And did the Fed have any comment on the likelihood of that?
Recession is, you know, broadly speaking, when the economy is contracting, when it is not growing, but it is shrinking. And, you know, the sort of the textbook definition is if gross domestic product, which is the measure of total economic output, if that shrinks two quarters in a row, the reality of it is it's more complicated than that. There's a lot of different variables that get looked at in determining whether or not there was a recession. And recessions are really only evident in the rearview mirror. So by the time a recession is officially declared, we've usually exited it, and the recovery is underway. What the Fed said is, the odds of recession have gone up, but they're still very, very low. Those odds are never zero. Even when everything's going swimmingly, there's always a risk of being broadsided by something else. But a lot of economists, we survey economists every quarter. And a lot of those estimates lately have been 15, 20, 25% chance of recession. And so some of those forecasts have gone up to 20, 25, 30% odds. So up a little bit, but still very, very low, speaking to the fact that the economy is coming from a position of strength. We've seen really consistent job growth, unemployment's low. Spending's been a little choppy lately, but overall it's hung in there quite nicely.
So somebody texted in and said, I'm just an average guy. How would a recession affect me?
That's a situation where, in recessions, it's, the labor market, is tougher. So, overtime gets cut. There are fewer jobs. Unemployment goes up. Even if you keep your job, it's an environment where if the economy's weaker, business isn't great. So, it's tougher to get that raise. You get a little more work piled on you because, the employer's paired headcount. They're just never fun by any means. But again, I think the odds of that are quite low. What I would say to the listener and anybody else that's concerned about that is, in the meantime, just control what you can control. Pay down debt, build up your emergency savings. I think those are real two really big things that can really make a big difference to stabilize your financial foundation. And that way, you can better weather whatever the economy may throw in our way at some point down the road, and you'll sleep better in the end. If you have less debt and more savings, you'll sleep better.
Any final thoughts, Greg?
We've seen a lot of market choppiness, and I would expect that volatility to continue. But for retirement savings, this is long-term savings. Don't get distracted by that day-to-day volatility. Keep making those regular 401k contributions.
Thank you, sir. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. If anything, when it's down, that's the time to make the contributions. 854-6 till 9, traffic now, WWL.